And now we move from politics to fun. We're joined in studio by Joyce Cole Haywick, sort of a legendary arts and entertainment critic. I shouldn't have said sort of. Legendary. And GBH, she's doing two fist clenching. A GBH arts reporter on his way to legendary status. He's also host of the new weekly arts show Open Studio on WGBH. Jared Bowen, good to see you both.
Nice to be here.
Congratulations on your first show. Sounds great.
Well, thank you kindly.
That's right. This is your maiden voyage.
This is our maiden voyage. I would like to point out that Jim neglected to do his homework. He has not seen a single one
that is totally
of these
untrue.
Oscar winners. It's disgraceful. Thank God the rest of us have.
But you were glued to every moment of the Oscars, right, Jim?
Not only I watched the red carpet thing. Okay. I voted on what was the most attractive dress. I did vote.
Oh, I want to know what this is. Great. What was it?
No, Charlize Theron.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Hello.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
What are you talking about, Jim?
I don't
what
know.
Are you making
yeah,
a face
yeah.
for?
Because I thought
Barry.
I couldn't take my eyes off Jessica Chastain. I thought she was just
was pretty good
radiant.
Too.
Yeah.
That was a see-through kind of experience.
Yeah.
I think
she called it copper.
Oh, is that what she said it was?
It was a bronze pink by Armani Privé. That's what.
Oh,
yeah, Jessica
you.
Chastain.
And that red
same
hair.
Color as her hair. I mean, it was gorgeous.
She's a knockout.
So I think, you know, they got it wrong in the Globe this morning when they said there was sort of a nondescript color.
We're going to talk a lot about a lot of things with last night's broadcast and the movies that won and lost. And if you want to join the conversation with Joyce and Jared, you call 877-301-8970. But Marjorie can't control herself.
Well, I can't.
Go right ahead.
I always mispronounce his name.
Seth MacFarlane.
MacFarlane.
The host.
I always want to call him Harlan. But anyway, he did this rather controversial song. He was a little edgier than a lot of these Oscar hosts, but he did this controversial song all about which actresses had bared their breasts in the movies and which hadn't.
Here's a piece of it.
We saw your boobs. In the movie that we saw your boobs. Meryl Streep, we saw your boobs in Silkwood. Naomi Watson, Mulholland Drive.
Okay, enough of this. Can I tell you, by the way, I love Seth MacFarlane. I thought he was wildly unfunny last night, nervous, and I also thought that song was grotesque.
I loved it.
Grotesque.
It was the only part I liked because I thought this is what a lot of actresses do in the movies to get their part, and I kind of thought I loved how upset some of them were, too.
Okay, Joyce, break the tie. Go ahead.
All right, well, so I started out thinking, okay, well, this is sort of a fresh take, and then the longer it went on, the more embarrassing it got.
Exactly.
Because, you know, there's nothing edgy or sophisticated or provocative about talking about boobs at the Oscars.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. However, what was funny about that and clever were the planned cutaways of the actresses looking really miffed. Now, that was funny.
Well,
were
one of
planned?
Our colleagues said it was
planned?
Intentional.
Oh,
it was?
Absolutely. They looked like
they
drop-ins.
They had shot
they
it
had different clothes
yeah,
on.
They had different dresses. So they had shot it. I thought it was so offensive. It just reduced these
Thank
actresses.
You.
I mean, this really is our... And do I really want to hear about Meryl Streep's breasts?
No.
And not to mention these other supremely talented actresses.
They
and
were
it's
spectacular
not edgy. It's
in Silkwood, as I recall. Okay, if he not use the word boobs, if he said breasts instead, would have been better.
That's ridiculous. It's like seventh grade humor. Come on.
So can
this
we beat a
Oscars.
Dead horse? We intended to end with Seth MacFarlane, but let's continue with him for a second. Mm. I was really looking forward to it. I'm embarrassed to say I love Ted. I love everything this guy has done. Here's some excerpts from last night. I would say the worst of Seth MacFarlane.
A lot of controversy over the multiple uses of the N-word in the film. I'm told apparently the screenplay is loosely based on Mel Gibson's voicemails. Is that right? Oh, so you're on his side.
Story of a man fighting to get back his woman, who's been subjected to unthinkable violence. Or as Chris Brown and Rihanna call it, a date movie. Oh, no. No, that's what we were afraid he would
do. Daniel Day-Lewis... Not the first actor to be nominated for playing Lincoln. Raymond Massey portrayed him in 1940's Abe Lincoln in Illinois. This is true. I would argue, however, that the actor who really got inside Lincoln's head was John Wilkes Booth.
Hey.
Really, 150 years and it's still too soon, huh?
I got some Napoleon jokes coming up. You guys are going to be...
He's not getting invited back, Joyce Cole Haywick, is he?
No. He's, first of all, he said he won't come back. This is his only year. But you know what shows that he's really kind of a novice at this? He had the same comeback planned for each joke that wouldn't flop. Oh, you mean it's 150 years later and you're still upset about that? That was the John Wilkes Booth joke. That was the, the boob song, the Kardashian joke, the Chris Brown joke. People are groaning. Those were just bad jokes.
Okay, Jared Bowen.
Yeah, he was too juvenile. I mean, this is the ridiculousness of the Oscars. Every single year they try to appeal to a younger audience. We're going to bring in Seth MacFarlane, the guy who's behind Family Guy. And until this summer, he actually did a movie, Ted, which actually, Jim, I agree with you. I thought it was one of the funniest movies
I've ever seen
in a really long time.
Thank you so much for the humor
is too juvenile. And this is the Oscars. This is an event where everybody, whether you're the cameraman on the red carpet or an actress inside, you have to completely dress up. This is Hollywood's big night. So he really debased the event. And honestly, you're not going to draw a younger audience. They're not going to watch the Oscars like they want them to.
But the other thing about him is that he doesn't have that's the spontaneous comedic chops of the big boys. I mean, we're talking Bob Hope, Johnny Carson, Steve Martin, Billy Crystal. These are guys who know how to do stand-up. They are spontaneous and witty in the moment. They are elegant at the same time. I mean, just because you want to draw a younger audience in doesn't mean that they're a stupid audience. This is really
condescending. But you know what I loved about him? The song and dance numbers. I mean, because this is the other side of Seth MacFarlane. He loves these old standards. He loves Sinatra. So he is sort of a song and dance man. And when he was up there,
he was good.
When he had Channing Tatum and Charlize Theron, I mean, they were fantastic. And this is the Hollywood glamour that you love. This is why you watch the Oscars.
I didn't know he could sing. Did you know he could sing?
I heard him last night, and now I still don't know he can sing.
I thought he sang pretty well.
He was stiff as a board. Let's talk about some of the people who did pretty well last night. I have to say, even though he's a Cambridge kid, as am I, and even though he went to Cambridge Ringe in Latin, until Michelle Obama, which is pretty weird, I should say, announced that the Best Picture Award was going to Argo, I didn't think that Affleck was going to get this thing. Did you, Jared?
I absolutely did, because there was this whole arc. Once he didn't get nominated for Best Director, the whole narrative swung back to his favor, so that he suddenly became the underdog that everybody, and he makes a great story because, of course, he went through the whole Bennifer phase, and he did all these horrible movies
and the
bad behavior, and now he's back on top because he's a craftsman now. This is, you know, as everybody's talking about, he's made these terrific movies. Still not such a good actor, but this is a great Hollywood ending, wasn't it?
Yeah, but see, that's what it was. I don't know what happened. When I was paying attention, Joyce, in January, it was a duel between Zero Dark Thirty and Lincoln. And then we found out Lincoln misrepresented how two congresspeople in Connecticut voted on the 13th Amendment.
Yeah, and I'm from Connecticut. I was offended, yeah.
Well, a lot of people were there. Yeah. And then, of course, there were United States senators who were complaining about the torture scene at the beginning of Catherine Bigelow's film. So was politics what sunk the two of them and what made Ben Affleck the happiest man in Cambridge?
I think a couple of things, you know, worked in his favor. You know, there was some very positive backlash in favor of Ben when he wasn't nominated for Best Director for a really good first-rate thriller. I did not think that was the best movie of the year, but I thought
it was a good movie.
Lincoln, I'm not clear on why Lincoln was sunk. I think there was some kind of real Spielberg backlash that only pulled out two wins, set design and Daniel Day-Lewis, which no one could deny.
Well, speaking of Daniel Day-Lewis,
which did you think was the best movie?
I thought the best, I would have gone with Lincoln, despite some of the flaws.
You think Lincoln was better than Ted? I mean, really? Okay, here's
Call me crazy, Jim.
Daniel Day-Lewis, the first guy, you all know this, the first one to win three lead actor Oscars, I thought had the cleverest acceptance speech. Meryl Streep introduced him. Here's Day-Lewis.
It's a strange thing because before we decided to do a straight swap, I had actually been committed to play Margaret Thatcher. Meryl was Stephen's first choice for Lincoln. And I'd like to see that version.
Either one of them actually could play those parts.
That's how good they are.
That was great. There was no question. I mean, he was always the front runner. He was great. He changed his whole voice, obviously, if you've seen the movie. So no surprise there. And well-deserving.
No surprise. But what strikes me is he's, I mean, we know about his behavior now that he gets so into character. You can't talk to him. And Seth MacFarlane made jokes about that last night. What would happen if you saw a cell phone on the side of Lincoln as your Abraham Lincoln? What would you do? He became a cobbler when he was on the North Shore filling the crucible. And we know this about him. But then he gets up there and he's like a little boy. He's so sort of adolescent. And despite the fact that he's now our most acclaimed actor and the first person to win three Oscars in the leading actor category.
Mm-hmm. Is he the first person?
Yes. Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Jumped over Jack Nicholson.
Jack must have been
and
devastated.
And that's not easy to do.
A lot of people have jumped over Jack Nicholson.
Does Jack still get a good seat? I mean, he's still
kind of like the king emeritus of, you know, of the Oscars.
Well, speaking of Nicholson, did you not find it weird? I mean, Nicholson gets up there to deliver the Best Picture award, and then all of a sudden, then he makes a few sort of puerile jokes, which I found amusing because I love Jack Nicholson. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he points to a screen, and you think it's going to be William Shatner again from the beginning.
That was awful.
And lo and behold, it's Michelle Obama to give the Best Picture Award.
I actually just wrote about this today. I thought that was the oddest moment last night at the Oscars. I love Michelle Obama. I love the dance that she did with Jimmy Fallon earlier in the week. So great. I did not like that she presented the Best Picture Award. It's not her sphere.
Not
it just didn't feel right to me, and I love her. I didn't want her doing
that. How
did
this happen?
I don't know.
Nobody knows her because it was a big surprise. And they didn't have a live bug up on the screen. So I was wondering if it was even live or it was all completely crafted beforehand. And again, if you have Jack Nicholson up there, and he hasn't been at the Oscars with his sunglasses in years, why would you hand it off to Michelle Obama?
It did seem to be usurping.
I liked her shout out to the arts. I mean, I thought, you know, the way movies stimulate our imaginations, et cetera. And I thought, oh, great, she should stop there. And then when she opened the envelope, I was put off by that.
She shouldn't have been there. She was taking advantage of her position as first lady to inject herself into the
Oscars. Well, she had nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
I was hoping she'd take the opportunity to urge the audience to eat a carrot. I mean, that's because, as you know, I'm obsessed with the obesity crisis.
Well, she's done very well on that front. May I talk about my biggest disappointment of the night? Okay, Jennifer Lawrence, Best Actress. Now, I saw Silver Playbooks lining. I thought it was, you know, a sugary take on very non-sugary bipolar disorder, trying to put a bright face on it. I did not get that at all, especially having seen Amour. It was the most depressing thing I've ever seen. I wanted to shoot myself midway through the movie. It was just
You're saying it's a story about Alzheimer's and the actress?
She had a stroke.
And she was the oldest woman ever
85
nominated.
85 years old. Yeah. She was fantastic.
Until yesterday. Yesterday was her
86.
Birthday.
86.
They could have given her the Oscar on her birthday.
On her birthday.
That was a much better film. Silver Linings Playbook, for me, was the most overpraised movie of the season.
Just a chick flick.
I didn't get it.
I
didn't think all the pieces hung together. I didn't buy all the characters. I think Jennifer Lawrence is very talented. She was much better in Winter's Bone.
Yes.
That's for sure. When she did deserve that nomination.
So why?
That she won. I don't know.
It's political again. It's just like you're sort of Ben Affleck. The Oscars, people don't necessarily realize this, except for the case of Daniel Day-Lewis, who certainly deserved it, that it's so political. There's so much campaigning. I thought it should have been Jessica Chastain. Early on, Jim, you mentioned early on what the prognosticators were saying. They were saying she was going to win. But then all of this backlash against Zero Dark Thirty swelled up and how political the movie became and was it endorsing violence. And so everything fell away from that movie. And Jessica Chastain, who I thought should have won, lost her chances there.
And I was rooting for Emmanuelle Riva, though I knew she did not have a chance. But my God, what a performance.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah. It was controlled, detailed, poignant, amazing.
Suicide bill in Massachusetts last November. Go see that movie and you will change your mind immediately. Our numbers are 877-301-8970. You are listening to Boston Public Radio, 89.7 WGBH.
And the Best Director Award was won by a total genius, but it seems a complete surprise. My favorite part of his acceptance speech was last night. It was the end of his acceptance speech. Just listen to this.
Thank you for your support. Finally, my agent, Karen Sage, and lawyer, Ira Shrek, and Joe DiPaolo. I have to do that.
I love that kind of stuff, by the way. I just love it when they thank their lawyers, their accountants. So the guy made Brokeback Mountain, one of the greatest movies, I think, of our time. Crouching Tiger, Hidden, whatever it is.
Hidden thing. Dragon.
Unbelievable. Yep. I haven't seen Life of Pi yet, but it was shocking to me with Steven Spielberg, who hasn't won an award since Schindler's List, 20 years ago. Was Ang Lee surprising to you, and did he deserve the award, Joyce Cole Hayward?
I was shocked that Ang Lee won, not because I didn't think he deserved it necessarily, but I just didn't hear any buzz around that. That film was kind of overlooked. It got good to mixed reviews. Spielberg and Argo were the ones, and Silver Linings even. David O. Russell wouldn't have surprised me. This surprised me in a way, but certainly the man is a genius. Think of the capacious imagination of a guy who can make Sense and Sensibility, Brokeback Mountain, Crouching Tiger, and Life of Pi.
So different.
The man is incredible and on the cutting edge of extraordinary technology all the time.
You in the same place, Jared?
Well, this is where I have to admit my failing. I never saw The Life of Pi. I couldn't.
It's okay.
Thank God for that, by the way, that you didn't see every movie. I am so thrilled.
Well, there are like 19 of them now. That's the problem.
Let me ask you this. This was kind of a weird thing in the middle, and I couldn't figure out why it was there. All of a sudden, they have the whole cast of Chicago that was, when was that, 10 years ago?
Yeah,
or Catherine
looked it up.
I just
Jones,
looked it up.
It
was Renee Zellweger. What was that about?
I actually fell asleep yesterday during a little bit of the Oscars. I woke up, they were doing the number from Chicago, and I thought, did I just wake up in 2002?
I know.
Because that's when the movie was out. But they wanted to have this whole theme of we're going to return, because Les Mis was one of the big nominations this year. They wanted to devote their time to big musicals, but it was ludicrous. Nobody knew why they were watching this. Nobody knew that was the theme of the show. And I really, seriously woke up and thought, Catherine Zeta-Jones hasn't aged a bit. I don't
she
know what
terrific.
I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, she looked amazing.
She really
she
did.
She was lip-syncing that song, I'm pretty sure. But so what? Those moves are amazing.
Well, you know, speaking of Catherine Zeta-Jones, when you saw Michael Douglas, though, didn't you have two thoughts? He was either exhumed or embalmed for the show. No, isn't that... Inside, speaking
poor
of
guy,
the
music, he's a cancer survivor.
Oh, he is? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right, Jim.
Thank
shame
you for
on
totally
you.
Humiliating
shame
me, Joyce. Inside, speaking of music, our friend Sheila from Norton is on the phone at 877-301-8970 and wants to talk about the music. Good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is. Sheila, hi, Sheila.
Hi, guys. All is right with the world that you're back on the
Thank
air.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you.
And Marjorie, you and Joyce are timeless. And on that note, I think it was a woman's night between Shirley Bassey, Barbara Streisand, and Jane Fonda. I couldn't believe how great they looked, and I thought all of them like hit it out of the park with what they wore and the talent between Barbra Streisand with Marvin Hamlisch tributes. I thought it was superb.
Okay, hold on for a second here, Sheila. I just want to point out that both Joyce and I have a few years between us and Jane Fonda. I just want to be on the record there, okay? Don't rush me, please. But she did look fantastic. Now, I attribute that to tens of thousands of buttock tucks that she has done in her Jane Fonda aerobics, wouldn't you say?
I don't know, but I have to say when I saw all of them, maybe it's the camera angles or there's a Vaseline on the lens, but I mean, even to be able to sing as strongly as they could, it's 70 is the new 50 or something.
I'm so glad
hey,
your caller
Sheila.
Is talking
thanks,
about
Sheila.
Not just how they look, but their talent. Streisand actually sounded amazing, and it was so poignant, that tribute. And she's
great.
Incredibly shy. She performs less and less over time.
Is that
she
because of shyness?
Stage fright?
She has stage fright.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is, you know, really crept up on her. But what was interesting about that was she was singing The Way We Were. And, you know, her voice isn't the way it was, but it is packed with such emotive power that this is how you do it. And Shirley Bassey, she had every note, and she left it all on that stage. So no matter how old these women are or whatever, they are still incredibly talented, and their talent is still in evidence, in great evidence. And Fonda looks like a million bucks.
She
I've
does.
Seen her up close.
She does. It's all those aerobics.
It goes right back to what I was saying earlier. These are the people. This is the elegance. These are the powerhouses. These are why we have these award shows, because we have this amazing talent, people like Shirley Bassey. And I think the younger generation, somebody who absolutely gets it is Adele. She was the other one when she was performing Skyfall.
She was great.
She was fantastic. Unfortunately, there was a problem with her sound.
Sound
her mic.
Mix all night long
but it wasn't
was
her.
Terrible.
It wasn't
yeah, but
her.
You know what I love most about her? When she's singing, she is as regal as ever. And when she talks, she is such a normal, down-to-earth, working-class Brit.
Cockney,
it is
yep.
unbelievable. She
I love her.
Yeah, she's almost like a fishwife when she's talking.
I love
it's hysterical.
She
you know,
is.
Like, oh, chips and fish and, you know, whatever. But... then she comes out, and she's elegant
she's
and
fabulous.
That voice.
Our number is 877-301-8970. We're obviously talking about the Oscars. We're doing with Jared Bowen from WGBH and the legendary Joyce Culhaywick. Pete from Ashland, you're on with all of those people and me and Marjorie. Hi, Pete.
How's it going? Just want to say that Ang Lee was a good choice. And the old time phrase that the book Life of Pi was definitely a bit better has they kind of skewed the point of the book. I don't know if you guys know much about the story, but the kid is really kind of trying to figure out his spiritual path.
Right.
And he's going between the major religions, and it's kind of unfortunate that they kind of skew the story more toward this story will make you believe in God rather than what seemed to be the point of the book of you can solve your problems if you take a rationalist approach. And... and it makes much more sense rather, like to rely on your wit and your abilities and knowledge than just faith and expecting the world to fall in your lap.
Pete, thank you. It's not a terrific connection. In light of the fact that Marjorie Egan has not seen Life of Pi, Jared Bowen was honest enough to say he hadn't, nor had I. Joyce, we're counting on you. What do you think about what Pete had to say?
Don't say it.
You didn't see it either.
No. But what I'm about to say is that a book and a movie are really two different things, and it's almost impossible. I did not read the book, so I can't make that comparison. But I always think it's a moot comparison.
Unless
because it's
you don't want to see a book on film.
Lincoln is a perfect example. Rules, yes. And, you know, a filmmaker may choose to take it in a particular direction. And the images say a lot more than what the words have said in the book sometimes. And sometimes the words say what the images can't say. So it's really like two different creatures.
Now, Jared Bowen, here's another person we want to know if she should have won or not. Of course, Anne Hathaway in Les Mis, which got very mixed reviews, Les Miserables. But she also sang. Now, the theory was that because she had all her hair chopped off and had this tragic role, that's why she won. Or was this a deserving Oscar for her?
I think in a little bit of that snot that was coming out of her nose, that scene won it as much as anything. I mean, with that,
thank you.
With those, which I know Joyce loves, the tight shots are all over Les Miserables. But no, that's why I don't know that she should have won. And there's something unfortunate about her. There's such a backlash against her, too. She's sort of too cloying. And even in her speech last night, she's being bashed for this dress, the nipple Prada dress that she was wearing. I mean, people just love to not like Anne Hathaway. And for some reason, I find it more and more difficult
She seems a lot more real on celluloid than she does in person.
Can we get back to this nipple dress thing
Helen
for a second?
Hunt in the session.
I like those darts. There were very prominent darts on the Prada dress, and it's fashion. Get
but
over
isn't
it.
The problem? See, my sense. I haven't seen Les Mis either, but I know that's redundant.
We know.
But let me just say,
you've seen nothing.
But I did see Batman, the third one. Isn't of the problem that because she does comic book kinds of movies, that people say, well, you can't be a real serious actress. You can't be you can't win an Oscar when you're playing Batwoman. Isn't that part of the problem?
No, because Jennifer Lawrence had just come off the Hunger Games and doing.
Oh, that's a good point.
Playbook.
No, and I think that Anne Hathaway is recognized as being an incredibly versatile comedian and dramatic actress. She was also
sing.
In Brokeback Mountain. She did an amazing job there, and she can sing and she can dance and she's gorgeous.
Excellent points.
You know.
I retract my point.
You know who was great too? You know who was great? I thought Sally Field in Lincoln was phenomenal.
Well,
and you know
she was my pick.
So unattractive. She allowed herself to be turned into this, unfortunately, kind of off the reservation, Mary Todd Lincoln, but she did it brilliantly, and she didn't win either.
No, she would have been my choice, although I think Anne Hathaway was the best thing in Les Mis. I didn't like the movie Les Mis. I was so annoyed by all the tight shots and the director had two moves, you know, tight and wide. That was it, and you cannot sustain a three-hour movie with that kind of visual rhetoric.
Well, and Sally Field was doing especially great acting because she's in her mid-60s playing a woman who's had a 7-year-old that she just lost. So that was pretty fantastic.
I know.
But I thought she should
have.
Actually, I also wanted to see. Nobody saw this movie, unfortunately, but Helen Hunt in The Sessions.
I heard she was fantastic.
She was extraordinary, and she was in the wrong category. She was in Best Supporting Actress, and I said she should have been in the Best Actress category and perhaps should have won. I thought her performance was better than Jennifer Lawrence's in Silver Linings
Playbook.
She's
a sex therapist to a disabled person. Is that it?
Yep.
To a man who has polio, has been living all his life in an iron lung and wants to have sex for the first time and brings her in for The Sessions.
Yes.
And it's amazing.
And it's also based on a true story. It's based on a man who grew up in Dorchester, and she was a woman who, the sex therapist, grew up in Salem and then moved out to California. Berkeley, where else can you find such a thing that it could be a sex therapist and not prostitution?
So is there anything to, now we have, I think it's 10 movies that are nominated?
Nine this year.
There used to be far fewer. So what's up with that? Is that supposed to get more people?
I think there's an economic reason for that.
Yeah, okay.
People want to be able to build these movies up and campaign on them. And I started thinking about maybe that's why some of these movies that we didn't think were the best movies of the year, but were popular movies, are in this category. There's something a little strange and off about that, I think.
And why is there never, also, this is so depressing. I mean, from having seen even the clips from these things, whatever, is a comedy ever going to win an Academy? What was Annie Hall, maybe the last one, or Shakespeare in Love, or something? Is a comedy, is it considered too low rent for the haughty Oscar voters? What's the deal with that, Jared Bowen?
Nobody wants to take comedy seriously, first of all. I mean, there's usually the token person every year, and we didn't even have one. Last year it was Melissa McCarthy, who had a Best Supporting Actress nomination for Bridesmaids. But no, they're never going to be taken seriously. And I've been racking my brain, and Jim, I think you're right. I think Annie Hall was the last major one.
One of the great movies of all time.
But you know, I think in many ways a comedy is much harder to create and make work than something...
And perform
than something that, like Lincoln, that is, you know, big issues and... You know, death and destruction and all those
things. Except I don't want to speak for Jared, but I think Jared would agree with me. While Lincoln was terrific, it was no Ted. Would you agree with that, Jared?
Can we? Actually, I thought that Lincoln was overwritten, so I'll agree with you. It was no Ted.
Can you please tell people who haven't seen it, what is Ted about?
Ted
Jim?
Is a story with Wahlberg. He's a little kid. I can't believe I'm so embarrassed. But I saw it not once, but twice. He has a little teddy bear as a kid. He has no friends. He says, I hope the teddy bear is going to come to life. The teddy bear comes to life, becomes world famous, and then it interferes with his ability to get a job and keep a girlfriend.
Because
is that a fair description?
It's a foul mouth.
It is the most juvenile humor.
I hated that character.
Oh, my
I
God.
Recognized that it was funny in parts, and actually I was laughing in spite of myself, but I really didn't
Wait,
like that
you said
bear.
You hated it?
Yeah.
Then you're out of here. Joyce Kolhawick, enough of you. Jared Bowen, he's got a new weekly arts show. It's called Open Studio on GBH. Jared, it's great to see you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Both so much. We want to thank you. Marjorie and I want to thank you for listening to this edition, our first edition of Boston Public Radio. Do you want to thank them too?
I do. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Joining us tomorrow in the noon hour to talk about what's going on with sequestration, the Senate race here, Dorchester-born CNN's John King, and an open mic at 1, Republican nominee for governor in 2010. That, of course, is Charlie Baker. You can find us on the web at wgbhnews.org/BPR. I am Jim Browdy.
And I am Marjorie Egan, and you are listening to Boston Public Radio.